Yeah, I'm going to switch gears a little bit here and just kind of do something fun about our international trip by way of illustrating how we actually get people to other countries to study alternative healthcare delivery systems, which is so critically important for our community health nursing students. How many people have traveled internationally with students? Great. Where does everybody go? Where do you go? Jamaica. Okay, great. Yeah. Spain. Fantastic. Yeah.
Bolivia and Costa Rica.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. China, right?
England and New Zealand.
Oh, wonderful. That's a long trip, too, New Zealand. Yeah. Who else? Okay. I've got a colleague that goes to Dominican Republic. Do you go with orphanage outreach or do you go with a school-sponsored trip?
University.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And anybody else? Anyway, obviously a lot of us appreciate the value of this, and these are all great trips to help look at things besides the U.S. healthcare system. And many of you have probably experienced what I did too, which is that it's very difficult to get people to understand other ways of doing things other than the good old USA system, right? And I appreciated the introductory comment also about things that we're exporting, because I'm going to talk about some bad things we're exporting. Also, not our students, though, but other things, yeah. So, yeah, I've been traveling with students for quite a while, and I started going to Ecuador with students, and that got really expensive, so then we located an alternative trip, because my thing is Latin America, and we started going to Mexico, also a great trip, and then the State Department advisory came out for violence, and so we don't go there anymore, and I went to the International Programs Office and says, what do you got, you know? And so Costa Rica has a program that we were able to work with that had worked with our biology department before, and it's just been a great thing for nursing students because they have a specific public health program at this particular institute, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. But yeah, I do feel like we need to learn what's being done in other places, and the best way to do that is to go there. So we need to get our students out of their comfort zone in the United States, and that's a little bit difficult. And so I'm just going to talk about the benefits and the drawbacks just for a few minutes, and along the way I'll illustrate what we learned about the Costa Rican system, which is really quite different in some fundamental ways from the United States. So, yep, there's my disclosure. No relationships. Okay, so my concept of doing this has always been I really enjoy working with students outside the classroom, and don't you feel like you learn things about them that you couldn't just learn if you're standing up there yakking to them in front of the PowerPoint display? And also, it's a good way for us to generate scholarship, I find. It's been useful to me. I think a lot of other people can see all the possibilities out there in terms of looking at transcultural experiences and scholarship about teaching also, right? And then just it's nice to just do something different. It's very refreshing, even though it is extra work. I think all of us are probably doing this out of the kindness of our hearts, right? If you're teaching it as a course, that's part of your teaching load, but the actual travel itself, I think for most of us, it's just, hey, that's your time, right? So you've got to really want it. This is what we all envision when we go on trips with students, as opposed to what we often get, right? But really, because you get to see your students transform in that way and watch it, you know, with your own eyes, I think it really is worth it. So a couple of things about doing study abroad experiences that I just wanted to bring up briefly are just... there are a couple of different types of courses that are available to us. This is an academic course that I'll describe to you, and a lot of nursing faculty often have service learning courses as well, and so they will go with a group like the orphanage outreach that I mentioned, or just in terms of having a work activity for students that isn't necessarily academic credit. So those are the two ways we usually split it up, right? And we do, in terms of academics, make the travel a piece of the curriculum, and I'll show you how we built that in. And then we also broadened it to include our public health undergraduate students, as well as nursing graduate and undergraduate students. And now we're extending it to health psychology students as well. And so I think the more that we work interdisciplinary in that way helps everybody within the university. And so we're trying to build that up also. So this is our course that we developed, and the students take an online format elective course, so it doesn't conflict with anything else they're doing, no matter what program they're in. They can meet the requirements of this course every week, and we offer it just prior to the travel experience, so they're fresh and prepped and ready to go when we do travel. And as soon as the May semester ends, the spring semester, we have our travel dates before the summer term starts. And for our nursing community health students, that gives them credit, depending on their activities, toward their community health hours, because we have numerous community health hours that the students have to meet in our baccalaureate program. Graduate students do get some credit also, as do the public health students, because they have numerous clinical practicums that they have to meet also. And that helps motivate the students. Not only now are they getting their nursing elective credit, but they know they're going to get some clinical credit that they can apply when they get back. They can't, you know, it doesn't apply until after you return from the travel, obviously. So this is where we go, and this is the Monteverde area of Costa Rica. We fly into San Jose down there, the capital, you can see. And it's about a 3.5-hour bus ride up into the cloud forest. So it's not a rainforest, it's a cloud forest. You're at altitude. There's little clouds kind of going through you. It's kind of neat. It's a little bit cooler up there. And I feel pretty strongly about that because we want to go to a place where we can adopt a community group. And so we're not going all over the country. We localize and then we work within that local community so they can actually do a community assessment and things like that. So this is what's included in our pre-travel course. We talk about the country, the history of the country, which is very unique to each country. And Costa Rica has some very interesting aspects of the culture that we teach people about. And then just the concept of giving care across cultures is something that is a key component of the course. And then we talk about healthcare systems. And there are some materials available in the literature to help with regardless of what country you're going to. And we talk about health belief theories in general and what we can do to help people understand their health and act toward bettering their health and how those attitudes might differ between the United States and Costa Rica or any other country, and also barriers to transcultural care. And we offer it online through our online learning system at the university to prepare them for the travel part of the trip. And then we throw in a few other things, including the student preparation for the actual tactical things we're going to be doing in the country and things they need to pack and stuff like that. You can kind of load up those things into the course also. So this is just a little description of the institute that we work with. It's the Monteverde Institute, and they've been there for a long time. They're very well established, and they really know how to handle international students. So that's one reason that we chose this particular in-country provider, and I think that's a really key thing is to have that strong in-country contact person that can escort you and chaperone you through the trip. So these are just a couple of pictures of, you know, the differences that we see in Costa Rica. Here's some students working with a community group, and we do some health assessments and some stress relief stuff, exercise-based stuff, and then we do some little pampering things with them because it's a community where there are a large number of disadvantaged people. People in Costa Rica in general tend to have a very simple lifestyle, and they're used to getting by with far fewer resources than we are in the United States. You're not going to find a shopping mall anywhere near here, nowhere near here. But even more so, there's no ADA, for example, in Costa Rica. And this comes as a shock to some of our nursing students. How do disadvantaged and disabled people, mentally or physically disabled people, get services in this country? And it's a real conundrum for our students, and they have to be there kind of to see that, right? So some of the activities that we do are very outdoorsy activities, too. And one of the things that I do when I take students to another country is screen them. Does everybody else do that? Do you actually go through a vetting process of picking students? Do you not get to do that?
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big believer. After my first trip, I developed my own screening tool for students, and it just depends on where you go. I mean, there are places you could go where the amount of physical activity that the student must engage in might not be that critical, or the foods might not be that critical, but there are a lot of countries where it's really critical. And if you have a insect phobia, you know, forget about it, that type of thing, you've got to go through those things with people because this is a stressful experience. You're going to a country with a different language, different customs, and all those things are stressful. You're sleeping in a different bed. You know, a lot of students think that they've traveled internationally because they've gone someplace with mom and dad and they stayed in a hotel. That's not helping you learn about another culture, right? That's not really a transcultural experience. So they have to demonstrate to me that they'd be able to handle those things. So yeah, I want to talk a little bit about what we do in the country and just mention two things. about the public health system in Costa Rica that do stand in stark contrast to ours. So what happens is we get to the country and we go to the University of Costa Rica and we get a lecture, and there's a professor there at the School of Public Health. It's a huge, wonderful university in Costa Rica that gives us a lot of his time every year to help our students understand the healthcare system in Costa Rica. And Costa Rica has a set of benefits called La Caja, or the box. It's a little box of benefits that they feel are minimum things that all citizens are entitled to. And that's a big contrast to us. And also the way that they got there stands in stark contrast to the United States. You know, Costa Rica doesn't have a military. Are you aware of that? They outlawed it in 1948 after their last civil war, basically. And so they have the resources. You know, that's the thing we don't think about in the United States, how much money we don't get to spend on healthcare because we're spending it on other things. I use the military as an example. But fundamentally, they got there because the citizens decided. They're much more close together philosophically. They live very close to the land and the environment, and they think about things like the justice piece a little bit more, I think, than some people in the United States do. And so they decided that this is what would be fair to the people, and no matter who you are, there are certain things that you're entitled to, but that always comes with a price, and they recognize that. That was fascinating to me, that in Costa Rica, people understand that healthcare costs money. They're not in denial about that like we sometimes seem to be in the United States. And so, for example, the professor that we spoke with said, well, you know, I am entitled to certain medication benefits under our healthcare plan, but I don't take them because I can buy my own drugs, and that lets somebody else who's more disadvantaged have that extra money that I don't need. Another example, though, alternatively, is prenatal care. You're entitled to prenatal care in Costa Rica, and you'd better get it. And if you don't, they'll come find you and find out why you're not getting your prenatal care and bring you in for your prenatal care. Because they're giving you that benefit, you're obligated to get your prenatal services. So that's the difference in how their mentality is about health care. It's very fascinating. So we do that, and then we travel to the local area, and then the really scary thing occurs for students, which is it's an immersion experience. They have to do homestays with families. And if there's one thing that students will tell me that they choose not to do the trip, and the trip has always been successful every year that I've run it, it's always made, but they'll say, I just don't know if I can handle staying with another family, because they're actually going to have to sleep in somebody else's house and see how they really live. And they're afraid to find out what that bed is like. They're afraid to share a bathroom, you know, those types of things. It's a very off-putting thing for students, but there's no other way to immerse them in the culture than to have them stay in the culture. So they have to do that, and they have to eat with the family and those types of things. And then every day, for several days, they get Spanish instruction because, you know, we're in Florida. And if you're going to learn another language, that needs to be the first other language you learn. And a lot they do come back really, really appreciating that piece of it. Even if they can only say 10 words, it's 10 more than they knew when they left. And when we take people at all different Spanish-speaking levels, and the school tailors programs for them. Okay, so they have some cooking experiences. They work planting coffee trees and things like that because it's a very farming-based community, right? And then we also have them do some excursions. We do a lot of outdoor experiences. And then they do a community project with the community group that we work with. It's a lot of fun. And we will pick elderly people or people with physical disabilities or something like that and develop a community project with them. Right? So, yeah, this is a picture of a student. A lot of the students are in love with their family by the time they leave. They all get invited back, and they leave Costa Rica saying, I'm coming back to Costa Rica, even though when we got there it was like, I'll pay extra if you'll just let me stay in the hotel, you know. Yeah. So some of the coursework that we get at the Institute includes women's health in Costa Rica and the differences, botanical medicine, because they're very big on that, and herbal medicine in Costa Rica. Food insecurity and relative food insecurity. I just wanted to mention that too. Yeah, we worked with some graduate students while we were there who were doing a study of food insecurity, and we discovered that there's people who actually become food insecure every month because they run out of food, and there are people now who have relative food insecurity. And that's because they are used now to the American diet, which we have exported down there. And if they can't get Burger King, then they feel like they're being deprived of the food that they want, and that's relative food insecurity. And that's the kind of thing that we are exporting to other countries, is that expectation of fast food. So, okay, so these are just some tips that I put in, and I guess these are all online, I think, for picking an international partner and some of the things that I've learned from having been to several different countries and making sure that you have all the support services you need from the international partner. The staff don't usually look like this. They just dressed up. They usually wear jeans, but it's a nice school. And there are a number of schools down there that will do these types of educational programs. So, yeah, these are the students that the program is open to. And this is an example of an excursion to a local healer, and this is called a sobadura. And she's giving the student a lymphatic massage, which you can tell is a deep massage. And students working out in the field. And then one of the things I would advise is when you do your student costs, that they are kind of all-inclusive costs, so the students really know what the financial impact to them is going to be. Yeah. And then we always have a fun day. Of course, if you're in Costa Rica, 99% of people want a zip line, and or you can horseback ride, you can go to church, whatever you want to do, but they want to get out and see more of the country. And it's a great way for them to do that in a relaxed way. Yeah. So we talked a little about student screening and some of the things that you should include, but I would recommend some sort of one-page form that that you also use as an educational tool to help people appreciate, have them write a statement about how they're going to be able to cope with being in a different culture and how they see that impacting them as a future nurse. Yeah. Okay, so here's some of the questions you could ask. Okay, yeah, and this is before and after, terror to joy and overall for the trip, right? So general tips, picking that strong partner. Maybe consider, if you haven't traveled before with students, just go with an extra person so you can kind of scope it out for yourself. And remember that it's a full years of work to do a two-week trip, you know. Questions? Thank you.